Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 193, part 1, Unless the Lord Builds, We Labor in Vain. Today is Friday, May 6, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Thank you, Pearl, for that introductory prayer. Higher purpose, higher purpose, higher purpose. Keep our focus, keep our focus. Yeah! I am your hostess with the mostest, your web madam, your chief marketing technologist, all rolled into one female body of work. Located in North Minneapolis, in the month of May, the season of spring. Thank you, God, for spring. Thank you for budding trees, green grass, little Johnny jump-ups, spring flowers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many know after winter, spring is God's best blessing? And then comes my birthday, May 21st. You can know the date. Have you seen the posters? Yep. You can know the date. The Lord's return. Well, according to the Bible, nobody knows the date, even the Lord, except for the Father. But let's say that would be the best, the very, very, very best birthday present I could get would be the Lord's return, May 21st, 2011. At 58 years, it's all over, and away we go. Hallelujah. Okay, so things are going much better. Last month, I had the Mean Reds, and if anybody were to listen and watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is one of my absolutely favorite movies, you will know that the Mean Reds are worse than the Blues. The Mean Reds were caused by a computer meltdown, but we're all over that now. We still haven't found editing software, which we'll need to do. We're just kind of inching our way back. It's kind of like being thrown from a horse. You know, you just kind of, yeah, you kind of pat him on the head and, you know, sit in the saddle. You keep it kind of tied up at the fence. That's where we're at with the computer right now. We're just kind of getting to know one another again. Anyways, that's a whole nother issue. But I am happy to be here. I'm so happy. God, thank you. I'm so happy for spring. And you know, one of the things I really miss in Minnesota in the winter? The birds chirping. The birds chirping. In fact, I actually had a bird chirping clock that for each hour it would chirp a different bird, and it broke. So this winter I was beside myself because I didn't even have my bird chirping clock. So just a hint, if the Mercedes, the night on the town and all this other doesn't pan out for me, a chirping bird clock. That's what we're looking for. So enough of all of this. Let's get to the business at hand. That's right. It's Pastor Paul's podcast, isn't it? Okay, here we go. These are the messages for the month of May. Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain, which is a Mother's Day message. And I thought that was kind of clever, isn't it? Timing. We labor in vain. So there you go, mothers out there, your children. Ooh, I know some of you may think that you labored in vain. I know my mother would never think that, but some mothers may think that. Rejoicing and mourning, our privilege. The natural mind hates God. That I know is true. Yeah, it just stands to reason. It's true. Doubting. A doubting Thomas. Okay? So there we have it, the four messages in the month of May, the month of the Lord's return. So if he does come back May 21st on my birthday, that means the last message we're not going to hear, which is doubting. And we won't have to doubt because we won't be around. So that'll take care of that. Be sure to listen both Friday for part one and on Sunday is always part two. Now, I hope that you are subscribing so that the message is sent to your phone and you can listen when you're stuck in traffic. You can also send the messages to someone who you feel would get as much out of these messages as you are. And I know if you are listening, you are getting a lot out of these messages because I know I did. And I still listen to every message. And by the way, I do live tweets on Thursday. So when I'm recording Pastor Paul's message from the cassette into the digital format, being the chief marketing technologist that I am, I understand these terms, digital. When I record these and put them in the digital MP3 format and load them on our server, you can just take these messages and redistribute them. Oh yeah, getting back to Thursday. Thursday is what I call live tweets inside. When I'm recording and something just clicks, you know, it clicks, I'll do a live tweet about what that is that clicks. And then what I do with the live tweets, because one time I went to Twitter and I looked and I didn't find my tweets and some of them were missing and maybe they had fail whale and, you know, the big fish. See, it makes sense. They have the fail whale, the big fish, which is what happened to me last month. Yeah, so it's the computer fish, okay? Anyways, so what I do is I do the live tweets and then I post them on the blog in order. So it's like, you know, I'm doing a post, which I've never have been able to quite get to that yet to do other posts. So I do a live tweets inside post. Now, I think what would be really cool is if people use the live tweets inside hash tag. I better say tag when I say hash, you know, hashtag. What I think would be really cool would be is if when you're listening to the message and you're like getting something out of it and you feel like a real click, like you need to tweet about it, you can do a live tweets inside and then use the hashtag. These are technology terms. I can go look live tweets inside hashtag. Hey, doubting Thomas. He clicked with, you know, a higher purpose. There you go. we're on the same page. That's not a technology. That's just kind of a, you know, an old school term. Anyways, enough. By the way, you also can, when you're listening to this, you know, I can only do one of these intros in the very beginning of the month. It's very difficult for me to do this intro. So I'm just, it's very difficult. So I'm trying different formats. This one is really, it's longer, like 9 minutes we have right now. So we're like 10 minutes into this. Feel free to just fast forward, which I'm sure that you do anyways. Do not fast forward during Pastor Paul's messages. You don't want to miss one single pause in his message. Have a great month of May. Remember, May 21st is the Lord's return and my birthday. And if it all works out, we're out of here. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, Unless the Lord Builds, We Labor in Vain. But before we enter into 1 Chronicles 22 and 14, which says, Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. Let's briefly get into Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, and this will give us a background, thy labor is in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh, but in vain. The key word here is vain. Have you heard that song? He is so vain. It's on the radio all the time. You're so vain. But anyway, the key word here is vain. If the Lord is not in what we build in vain. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build this work. He does not say, unless the Lord consents. It doesn't say, unless the Lord is willing that the house be built and the city kept. No, it says, unless the Lord build, unless he keeps the city, and that means he must do it all. Yeah, well, when you start a work and you do a work, unless the Lord working in you works it out, it's in vain. You can do all you want to do, but it's all in vain. Unless the Lord builds. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh in vain. He is the one that creates, and he is the one that keeps the city. The city set on a hill. He's the one that keeps you. He says, you are kept by the power of God. So see, unless the Lord build, unless he keeps the city, like I said, he must do it all. And so many times we like to get our arm of the flesh in there, close our eyes, and have some kind of a vision that we've made up. And how do I know that? Because so many of the things, well, you mean things don't fail, that they have vision? Yes, that does happen. Because I believe there are a lot of people that have had a vision to feed the poor. And we're looking at Ethiopia now, and we're looking at the United States, and we're looking at Russia and China and all the nations that are having famine problems. And I think sometimes works do fail because people do not see and have ears and do not hear. But still, when they start that work, they must know that it is all of the Lord. God must do it all. No arm of the flesh can build, or no arm of the flesh can keep. The Lord himself is the builder, and the Lord himself is the keeper. Verse 2 then, it is in vain for you to rise up early or to sit up late. Now here the psalmist is exhorting us to give over all undue anxious labor to accomplish our own particular work. Our own designs. Well, you mean you never stay up and burn the candle? Well, yes, we do if the Lord is in it. But don't double your effort when God is neither builder or keeper, because then it's pure insanity. You can sit up all night and make plans. Draw plans and make figures and add and subtract and do all those things that won't make a particle of difference if God isn't in it. Your losing sleep won't add one smidgen to it. Oh, I was up all night thinking about this. Well, go to bed and go to sleep. Are you hearing this? Your worrying and your fretting won't do a thing to further the kingdom of God. I believe it is a delusion, not only a delusion, but a snare. And it is all in vain. And then verse 2 again. To eat the bread of sorrows. You stay up all night long. And you worry about these things. And you try to keep yourself, and you try to keep your work. It's all in vain. It's living in a life of misery and labors, fretting at their own disappointments. Eaten up then with envy and the advancement of others. Some that you feel haven't done as much as you have. And God is furthering them, and here you are putting your all into it. I call this overly afflicted, unnecessarily. Oh, you mean that you don't have afflictions? Oh, yes, you do. But God always makes a way out where there seemeth to be no way, and you know these scriptures. But I'm talking about you that are listening on the radio or to this tape, some in here tonight, that are overly afflicted, unnecessarily, with losses and wrongs. Verse 2 again then. So he giveth his beloved sleep. I was thinking about when I was in the world, what they gave me. Being one of its favorites, a lot of you listening on the radio, they give you power and the world will give you wealth and the world will give you distinction. But God gives you sleep. Well, could he give anything better? Could he? No, I only slept when I was into making money, about maybe 2-3 hours a night. Unless I passed out from having a meeting somewhere with a bunch of other psychos at some bar. And I was given power to a degree in the world and some wealth, some distinction, but God, when I received Jesus, gave me sleep. Sleep on that one. But note here, it doesn't say he sendeth sleep. No, it says he giveth sleep. He actually comes and gives it to you. It isn't the Sandman that comes and puts sand in your eyes. It's the Lord that comes and gives you sleep. I mean, he's so interested in you, he comes and gives it. Doesn't send sleep to him. No, he comes and he gives it to you. God is always giving. Now, we're always talking about prosperity, and we're always talking about hyper faith and so on. How about a good night's sleep? Oh, I've heard people say, what I wouldn't give for a good night's sleep. Now, you're listening on the radio. Have you been saying that of late? You listening on the tape somewhere in the United States, maybe even over in Africa. Oh, what I wouldn't give for a good night's... How about giving your life? Your sleepless life. Your useless, sleepless, sluggarded life. How about giving that up? Then you'll have some sleep. But let's go on here now with, let's say, more understanding into 1 Chronicles 22 and 14. But I believe we're in an age of building up. Oh, there's a building up coming on now. I was encouraged. I had some men down here that were thinking about a building up. And aren't you thinking about a building up? I think it's time for building up, don't you? I think we have enough of the demolition experts. Demolition derby where we crash into each other while we're going around the track. Try to disqualify each other so that we can be the only one in there, leader of the pack. And so I think we are in an age then of building up, an age of working out things. First, the Lord has to work it in before he can work it out. But I believe God right now is giving us the grace of preparing the way of the Lord. Okay, now then, 1 Chronicles 22 and 14. Now behold, in my trouble, I like that, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and brass and iron without weight. So much I can't even weigh it all. For it is an abundance, timber also, and stone have I prepared. And then he goes on, and thou mayest add here too. I believe this building of the temple here is a type of the building of the church of God. And many of you listening to me have never helped to build a spiritual temple for Christ, haven't ever entered into anything like that. See, they are not themselves living stones. They are no part of God's spiritual house, let's say. They have never helped to bring their cedar or their iron or their gold to the great builder of the church. And it's going to be a united effort when people become one in the Spirit and they'll say, oh, behold how they love one another. Are you hearing this message? That's going to bring people to Christ. Are you hearing this? In fact, many have been, like I said, in the demolition derby. They're demolition experts. Busy, busy, busy. The Bible calls them busybodies, busying their little bodies around, causing all kinds of mayhem. And probably they have even thrown away stones. Here's a stone, and it's rough, and it doesn't look like anything. Oh, this is no good. And they throw it away, and they make a judgment. Or maybe they have hid the precious metals intended for the building. Someone that could have been pure gold or silver. Someone that through trials and tribulation and God working in them could have been part of the temple, but no. They've thrown that out. You judge your own hearts. And if you can't say you're a living stone, maybe you're listening and you're not a living stone, you're not even born again. If you haven't helped to build up the church of Christ, then repent. Admit that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to save you. But if you are workers for the Lord, listen now. If your hearts are right with God, and I'm afraid many saved people need to repent. They have been terrible, terrible sluggards. Like I said, demolition, talents, and let's say sort of a general worthlessness. When it comes, anyway, to building up of the spiritual body of Christ, the spiritual church, or being a city set on a hill. But if you are right with God and willing workers for Him, this will encourage you to work on and to go on. And I believe even if you should not for a time see any immediate results from your work, don't be discouraged. God is watching. So many times we're worried, well, who sees what I'm doing? Hey, over here, look at me. Look what I'm doing over here. Don't worry about it. God is the one that sees. God is the one that rewards. In fact, you can do a whole lot of things and you will get eggs thrown at you, rotten ones. And God sees those rotten eggs. And God sees those the spit. And God sees the knocks on your head. God sees all that. And you know you'll get your reward. Blessed are they that are persecuted for my name's sake. Great is their reward in heaven. So even though you're not too popular, God is watching. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this? This should encourage all of you people that are out there doing a, let's talk mission here tonight, a mission type of work. And I think there were many who helped to build the temple. David, of course, was gathering in all the materials, and Solomon, the master mason. The temple was named after him, but he had princes, it says in the Bible, that came and helped him in this great work, strangers and foreigners and aliens. And they all did their share. Even enemies had a part in the work. Now, I think we have many ministers of God. We have teachers of God. We have students of God and David's and Solomon's, but we need more. We need more of that type of people that are willing to do the work, that are called of God, that will say, God, make me willing to do your will. God, make me willing in the day of your power to make me willing. Make me willing, Lord. See, there is no one that comes on willingly. No, there isn't. There are some people that come to church. They're not willing to come to church. But see, God has made them willing. Just like you make your kids willing to go to school. I don't want to go to school. You're going to school. Come on. Aren't you God's children? You are going to school. Well, I don't want to go to school. They're giving me a hard time at school, and they call me names and all kinds of stuff. Stop. I don't care what they call you. You are going to school. Maybe you, as a mother, got on the back of the bus and had your feet on the bumper like this, and you hung on to make sure none of the kids misused little Junior. But the kid went to school. Maybe you even went with him. Maybe you stood on the corner to make sure nobody touched. Huh? But the fact remains, that child was made willing. Oh, you aren't going to go, huh? Now you're going to go. How many know God can make you willing? I was talking to a guy today who likes to argue about being saved. I says, well, brother, I ain't going to argue. If you're to be saved, you'll be saved. Looks to me, with all the arguing you're doing, you're going to be saved. You wouldn't be arguing so hard against it. Wouldn't matter to you. But I'll tell you one thing, if you're to be saved and God is going to save you, if he elected to save you before the foundation of the world was even founded, you will be saved. Miserably so. And he looked at me, like, don't get so excited. I said, well, I'm just giving you rights. Now, if you're not to be saved, you won't be saved. But the Bible says God wishes that none should perish, that all should have everlasting life. Now you think on that. Chew on it a while, because I won't argue with you, because if God's going to save you, he's going to save you. You haven't got too much to say about it. God will make you willing. Did God make you willing? He made me willing. I didn't want to get saved. Right after I got saved, I said, I wasn't ready for all this. Huh? Walked right out of the church. Come forward at the altar, saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, all in one shot. Baptized that very night. My very words were, I was not ready for all of this. See, the flesh warreth against the spirit warreth against the flesh, but it doesn't make no, never mind. God had elected before the foundation of the world was even founded to save me. I didn't have a whole lot to say about it. Neither do you. And if God's called you to a work, he knows how to make you willing. And if you aren't willing, then you'll just get pulled out of the ball game, go to heaven early. You'll die. Are you hearing this? I mean, it can go that far. See, a house not made of gold and silver and stone and timber, but a spiritual house for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. You're all mobile temples walking around. You know what a mobile temple is? It's a person. It's a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Well, then you're a mobile temple. It's not built by hands. It's made in the heavenlies. And so tonight, first, let's notice that David had zealously done his part, although he did not build the temple. And I believe there are many servants of God worldwide whose names are hardly even known. They're not even recognized. Who nevertheless are doing a work that is so essential to the building up of the church of God. And they're hardly even noticed. You know, when you get to heaven, God is no respecter of persons. You're all going to have the mind and the body, a brand new body and the mind of Christ. I mean, one with 180 IQ, and one with 80 IQ, and one with a zero IQ is all going to have the mind of Christ. And if they were obedient to the Lord, then they're going to have their crowns. You're all created equal. Isn't that what we say in this country? Well, say amen, somebody. Well, I didn't do much, Lord. I just took care of the bathroom. Well, let's see how many times that you did the bathrooms. You never missed a day cleaning them bathrooms. Well, you might see some people up there you didn't think amounted to nothing. It's going to have crowns on and just dazzle your eyes. Maybe some of you will think you're going to be first or be last. You go up there with smoking tennis shoes, a diaper on, and one spear head on top of your head smoking. Why? Because the works were a lot of them your own works. Are you hearing this? And they're all over these servants. I know a whole lot of people like that. And they will never realize their important part until that final day. And God will call them forth in that great white throne judgment there. And the name will come forth and there'll be a decree there and all these beautiful things. Now your sin isn't going to be brought up because the sin is passed over. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. God isn't going to judge according to sin. He's going to judge on accordance to the way that you love. If you love me, you will obey me. What'd you do? As a matter of works. No, not works of the flesh, but works of the Spirit. You will not be judged for sin. You did this and you did that. God doesn't get into that. I will remember your sins no more. So we don't go through the sin thing, but it's going to be pretty heavy anyway, because where were you when I was sick, a prisoner, and a widowed? Where were you when I was a hungered? And these questions are going to come forth. Now, that's going to be heavy enough. Now, we're talking about sin. Sin's passed over. But where were you? Will that be heavy enough? Or do you want to have somebody get fried because they did some kind of sin? Well, whatever you mete out shall be met out to you. The measure that you show mercy, that same mercy will you get. See, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. See, you don't know how to judge. You're not a righteous judge. And there's so many judges around, walking around with long black robes and their little tassels hanging down to their feet, their little hammers. Now, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning all over this land. Huh? I'd hammer heads until there were hardly any of them left. Are you listening to this, hammerheads? But there are people all over. Today I was looking out here and this dumpster guy was out here, okay? And I just thought, now praise God, God brought this guy in here. And he dumps this trash And then they told us, whatever trash you can hurry up and get out there and dump in those bins. And I took them at their word, so they're going to have to go by what they told me. I don't want to make liars out of them. And the kid one says, no, you should be paying for that. And the main people said, no, you don't pay for that. Well, I go by the main people. See? But this young guy's out there dumping this garbage. I thought, praise God for that guy. Just think of all the garbage. We'd have 4 garbage of those big bins out there, so many yards. 8 of them every week. Well, that'd be 400 or 700 and some of those things all over the yard. You couldn't even get into this church. Now, how many times do you notice the garbage man? Hardly ever. Until he doesn't come. Then you notice. Then you say, P.U. Where is the garbage man? How many hearing this? And before, I'd never be a garbage man, but now all of a sudden he's important. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. There are people that are hardly even noticed, and they're doing a great work for the Lord. They're hardly even noticed. A bunch of garbage people. And so here we have David that gathered all the materials. And I think many times people are used to collect people and have nothing to do whatsoever in fashioning them. They just bring them in. Here's my friend. And they bring him into church. And here's this guy I just met out here. And here's this person I met out there. And they have nothing to do with fashioning them, but they're bringing them in. So many times I've talked to people and I say, well, now, you get people saved out on the streets and they're saved down there at that hobo run. But do you have follow-up? Well, what do you mean? Do you follow them to their dens underneath the bridges and spy and see if they're gulping some wine down underneath there? No, I don't do that. Do you peek in their curtains to make sure that they're being holy and everything? No, I have enough trouble with myself. How about you? Oh, I don't have no trouble. I just claim to be holy, and that's what I am. Well, claim it all you want to. Your holiness is in God. Jesus is as holy as you're going to get. Now say amen, somebody. You ain't going to never be no more holy than Jesus in you. Your spirituality is Jesus Christ. It's not yourself. It's not the way you look or the way you smile or the way you pursy lip. Are you hearing it? People don't care about that. God cares less. Angels don't rejoice every time you say hallelujah. Huh? That's no big deal when you say amen as loud as you can and shake the whole building. It doesn't mean a thing. But a whole lot of people do a whole lot and don't even know it. Maybe he's the founder of a Christian organization, but doesn't live to see many conversions. Maybe he gathers the raw material upon which another shall work. He plows and he sows. Someone else comes in and they water the seed. And after this, someone comes in and gathers the harvest. Still he sows. And those that sow are not forgotten. God is watching. David did this work, getting together the materials for the temple. Wow. Knowing later on that he'd never be able to build it. But also God says, in that you had it in your heart to do it, David. I'll give you credit for it. Maybe you're out there and you have in your heart to feed all the people in Africa and your heart is just bursting or to help down here on the north side in some way. Maybe you're in a hospital. Maybe you're crippled. Maybe you're an old person out there. Maybe you're praying to God, oh God, if I had the money. Oh God, if I had the means and your heart is right, God is going to give you credit for feeding multitudes of people because you had it in your heart to do it. God knows when your heart is aright. You mean you actually don't have to do it? No. No, but if you're able to do it, you better do it. Say amen, somebody. He also, it says here in the Word, he fashioned some of the materials. He had stones cut from the quarry. He did a lot of things, didn't he? But he didn't get to build the temple. And many of them he shaped to take their places. So by and by, the temple could be built, it says, without the sound of a hammer. or an axe, but in silence. And even now, the temple, I believe, is being prepared in different parts of the world, that someday in the silence of the night, maybe they'll put some kind of an awning over it, or some kind of a tent over it. The temple will be built, for it's built already, and it will be pieced together. Say amen, somebody. No, hallelujah. There are preachers and teachers who help form the characters of the very scholars that you're going to have later on, that you have now. And hearers by what? By working away at their hearts and their minds. And they'll never build up a great church? No. But they will knock off the rough edges of the stone. They will prepare, they will not only prepare, but they will fashion, and then soon and very soon, the song says, the builder will come and make very good use of them. But anyway, David had prepared the way for Solomon's temple. But I read in the Bible where David had fought many battles and brought about a time of peace so that the temple could be built. If David wouldn't have had all those battles, and won all those victories, there wouldn't have been any peace, and the temple couldn't have been built. There could have been no peace before the enemy was defeated. And David did that. So many times we give everybody credit, but those that need credit. Now, you don't hear a whole lot about men who prepare the way for others. I read where, what was it, Paul Revere? Rode on his horse, and I read a story where someone else set the whole thing up. Actually, he only went the last few miles. Somebody else rode their horse into the ground and a couple of horses into the ground. Never even heard of him. Probably because he announced, I am Paul Revere, and I got a word for you. A lot of Christians do that. I am so-and-so, and I have a word for you. And everybody knows them, because they always got a word for someone. They go riding their horse down through the village. The English are coming. The devil's coming, huh? Sometimes they talk about the devil so much, they wonder who they love. How many hearing this? But here was David that fought all of these battles and prepared the way for peace so they could build this temple. And even prepared the stones. Even brought all the silver and all the gold and all the wood and all the iron in. But you know, God remembers these pioneers who move into the devil's territory. Are you hearing this? Maybe you're in the devil's territory. Maybe you're working where the devil's just in there so thick. It doesn't look like a whole lot is happening. But you're in there, and you're faithful to stay here. That's my point here tonight. You're faithful to having done all stand. To stick right to it. Don't be persuaded to get out. No matter what the cost or what the conversation, you stay there having done all you stand. You know what? If you're never remembered, God remembers you. Maybe you're in there rooting out grievous errors, legalisms and so on. And this area is totally saturated with legalism. Maybe you are preparing the gospel and you're preparing people's hearts to receive the gospel. Maybe you're plowing all the time, night and day. Maybe you got your lights on plowing. Huh? Maybe the drone of the gospel message is in your ears and the wheels of time are turning and you're going down through this field and you're plowing, 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 plowing all the time. Maybe you don't look too holy because you're plowing up the ground. Oh, my. You'd rather be in there where the crops are coming up and there's little birds whistling. Huh? But you're into the plowing business and you're plowing through. And people say, don't make so much noise. Maybe you irritate people. Maybe you plow up hearts. It's called deliverance. Maybe you're preparing people's hearts for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, that takes a little bit of doing, don't it? Takes a little bit of dedication. But moreover, the Bible says that David found the site for the temple. Man, he did a whole lot of groundwork, didn't he? It says he discovered it, and then he purchased it. And then he handed it all over to Solomon. And we don't always remember the men and women who prepare the sites for the Lord's temple, do we? Yeah, we'll be down here. I could drop dead here tonight. People would go on out and have a hamburger and a bowl of pea soup and forget all about me. But God never forgets. Oh, you know what? Whenever you die, you're a nice guy. He was a really nice guy, wasn't he? Boy, he was a peach. Oh, he had his ways. Remember the time? And I remember this time and that time. And oh, I laughed so hard. No, boy. And then, you know, he was a worker, though. He was a worker. Yeah, not too spiritual, but a worker, you know. See, that doesn't matter because God is the one that keeps score. Hey, you listening out there, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. If you're in there, if you're doing a mission work, don't be discouraged. All your friends are winos that are coming off their wine. And you see on TV where they've got these great huge plants all over, and they do a shot of it, and everybody's sitting on silk Davenports and talking about Christianity. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And it says, and so and so and so and so. Oh, really? Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Huh? Well, that's all right for some. I could care less for it. Are you hearing this? I could care less for it. It's just not my bag, all right? And so, you listening, don't worry about it if you're not there with the TV cameras. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't worry about that. God is keeping score. Well, there's not a lot of attention given to me down here. Jeez, Jimmy's on the hobo bus. He could be saying, they don't pay no attention every night I drive down there, 7 nights a week. And they're up there, they're getting all the glory. Well, if you get their reward here, they'll get none in heaven. You've already had your reward. Your back is black and blue from people patting on you. Don't get bent out of shape because you don't get noticed all the time. Maybe someone will prophesy over you and say, God will not wipe your name out. He'll never even, you won't, it'll be like you never even existed. Huh? So? I'm telling you, God remembers these people. Persecuted, millions of them persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Now, if a sparrow falls, and he knows that. And he knows every hair on your head. Hey, when you're being persecuted for Christ's sake, it's taken down. But also it was David who received the plans from God. How many hearing this? The Lord wrote it upon his heart what would be done. Now, you out there that have started works and done works, and the Lord has written that upon your heart, and then you have people that will come in and say, well, this is the way God wants it. That's the way God... Just listen to them, okay? Because God's going to have... And you'll know that God is going to have his own way anyway. Don't lose sleep over it. Don't sit up at night burning the candle on both ends. Because, see, you don't want to ruin your health. Now, you got help? Keep them. Say amen, somebody. And they'll come in with this idea, that idea, this idea. Then they'll call on the telephone and, okay. All you got to know is that what they're saying, if God has already put it upon your heart, is going to be so. Don't lose sleep over it. How many are hearing this? And so David had the plans for the temple from God. He told him even the weight, it says, of the candlesticks. Everything that was to be arranged, he told him the whole thing. And so here you have Solomon, wise as he was, he didn't have the plan for the. He had to borrow the plans from his father, who got the plans from God. Now I know there's a whole lot of men that are far-seeing. They get the plan of the gospel into their hearts. And they see ways in which great things can be done. And so you know what they do? They pick up the spiritual plow over and over and over, and they plow and they plant and they plow and they plant and they pray. They come into trials, and you know why the trials are? They're for the sharpening of your plow. Are you hearing this? There's a gentleman who lives next door. He's worked all of his life, and he's lost his limb. And he's got one of these false limbs on. So he wasn't doing anything, and I said, you know what? You need to get over here and take that sickle of yours and cut down all these weeds over here. Boy, that was a meat for him. He was over there whacking all them weeds down along the fence over there. Today I seen him sitting down, and I says, are you sharpening up your sickle, getting ready to cut down the rest of these weeds? Come on, let's get with it. See, these are all therapies, aren't they? Do you think God was watching that? Someone might say, well, Pastor Paul, after all. But see, God knows my heart. But maybe this person, maybe he won't finish it, and others will come and carry out the plan. The first one is received. Let us not forget the first man who went into the secret place of the Most High God. And he learned in the place of thunder and fire and trial and suffering and in the deserts and in the ridicule and in the slander what God would have his people to do. But then David did one more thing. Before he died, he gave a solemn charge to others. He charged Solomon and all the princes and all the people to carry out the work of building the temple. Oh, I thought how great it is to see these old people pass on the work of the Lord, building blocks. And so you see in this message tonight that David had done his part towards the building of the temple. Maybe I should ask every believer that's listening to me, have you done your part? Now, you're a child of God. You're listening on the radio. God has loved you, and it says God has first loved you, and God chose you. And it says that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, do you know better? Let me ask this question. Do you know better than to go on your whole walk saving yourself? So many people are into saving themselves. They think that once they're saved, they've got to keep saving themselves. No, you are saved. Stop yelling, help, help! I'm drowning in the sea of sin and you're on dry land. How stupid you look. You've already been rescued. The lifeline has already been thrown out. You look so ridiculous standing out there in full armor yelling, help! Covered by the blood of the Lamb already. But listen, have you diligently done all that you can do for the Lord and Master? Your job, you listening, is to help build, not to tear down. Not to waste materials. Not to pull out the spiritual blocks, people. And pull out those spiritual blocks and take them and lead them out. Now, of course, we can't all preach, but we can pray for the one God has sent to preach and to lead. I think it's one of the most grievous sins if the church members do not lift up the pastor in prayer.
There you have it. Episode 193, Part 1, Unless the Lord Builds, We Labor in Vain. Be sure to listen to the conclusion, Part 2, on Sunday. Subscribe to the message, and don't forget to look up those scriptures in the show notes. God bless you.
You may be low, you may be